brought to you by Anywhere Map, now available as an app for all the popular tablets. See more at anywheremap.com. And by Bendix King Avionics. We've renewed our brand and our promise to deliver the best in general aviation avionics. See us at Hangar B, Booth 80, or at bendixking.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sun & Fun 2012 at Lakeland, Florida. I'm with Jerry Gregor of Redbird Simulations. Jerry, we're in the Piper booth. You have just taken delivery of a new Seminole. And how's that going to fit into the flight training and simulation lab down there in San Marcos? You've got an innovative program going on. How's this going to fit into that?
Well, the laboratory is studying simulator-centric training as a way to deliver pilots and pilot licenses in a more uniform and regular and predictable way, just like the airlines have been doing it for years. And we've started out with primary training. We're now moving into more advanced ratings, including multi-engine. So this is the most wonderful day when you get to take delivery of a brand new airplane. And we consider the Seminole to be the best possible platform for the laboratory, because besides doing training in it, we're also measuring things that are going on. We're looking at cameras inside the airplane, measuring biometrics and all of these other things so that we can understand.
If I understood you correct, you're going to use this as kind of a fine laboratory to collect data to confirm your simulator designs and findings?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, we simulators is probably not a really good word for what we're building anymore, because up until this point, simulators have simply been stand-ins for airplanes. This next generation of training devices is simulators that can actually deliver the training themselves and are practice platforms for the students. So where most schools charge time for the simulator, all our simulator time is free, because the more time the student spends getting proficient in the simulator, the less time we're spending in the airplane. But the ability to measure the effectiveness of that training is important, not only in how we design the software, but actually, you know, what additional hardware things we need to deliver. For instance, we have a fully independent artificial intelligence air traffic control in our simulators, so pilots learn the radio before they get in the airplane. That's the second hardest thing to learn in flight training, students tell us, after landings. You know, for some reason, with new students, the push-to-talk button seems to be attached to the ailerons, because every time they hit it, the plane goes a little bit out of control, you know. So these are the kinds of things we're measuring. And we even think measuring the biometrics is important, because stress is an issue with new students, as is things like sensory rush and, you know, what other things their brain's trying to absorb while they're learning. So by measuring stress in the simulator and seeing how that translates into the airplane, we can better understand how to present scenarios like this.
In the press briefing, you mentioned that finding students hasn't been the problem.
No, it's not the problem. And we've got a fixed fee training program and a Part 141 FITS program, which we think is maybe the only one in the country where we're not required to give a specific number of hours to students. When our instructors decide you're competent, you get a pilot's license. So it changes everything about how we structure the training. We're graduating students, you know, we're very early on, but we're the average in 2.5 months on 20-some students are graduating with about 33.5 hours in the airplane. Now, I wouldn't want for anybody to think that's how it's going to be for them, but that's 50 hours less in the airplane than the average. But that's a tremendous amount of practice and simulator time.
And how does the cost come out on that?
Well, it's in the case of a private pilot, it's $9,500 flat, no matter, to get that. And the average spend on private pilot's licenses now among all schools is a little over $17,000.
And let's talk a little bit about how many hours that training so far in these first 20 has taken in terms of hours. You said about 3.5 hours in the airplane. How many in the simulator?
No, about 33.5 hours in the airplane, and probably about 50 hours in the simulator, actually. I mean, but that's a combination of time with the instructor and time alone practicing. This second generation of simulators is measuring how the student is doing and reporting back to the student on a real-time basis how they're doing on certain functions. So, for instance, we have a guided independent flight training program that scores the student on how they're doing certain maneuvers and tells them if they would have passed the practical exam or not. Well, it's great for a student to be able to get in by themselves in a very non-judgmental environment and practice until they get really good at that maneuver and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, sort of the theory, which I frankly have always believed, is that flying is something you can almost teach yourself, but you do need some oversight and some mentoring in there from something, and whether it's a machine or an instructor or whatever, you need some feedback loop to tell you how you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what this seems to be doing.
It is, and we're in a very interesting time with the technology. This second generation of training equipment, which is simulator-based, is very interesting. The next generation, which we're already working on, this third generation of the simulator as iterative trainer, meaning that we're looking at simulator designs now where the simulator can detect what the student isn't doing well and introduce conditions into the simulation that will force them to practice that more and get good at it. And this is going to change everything about flight training for general aviation. We've got to make it more affordable. We've got to make it safer. And we can do things in the simulator to pilots that we could never do in an airplane. So, for instance, we're measuring one of those things that kills a lot of pilots is that an engine failure shortly after takeoff, 300 or 400 feet. And while we can instruct a student what to do, fly straight ahead, we find that, especially in the simulation, that their first reaction is to try to turn around and go back. And we kill them almost every time in the simulator. And then we find that the second time we create that scenario, they do it right. But imagine not being able to experience that first in a simulation and why that happens to pilots so often. But it only takes once or twice, and then suddenly they've got it.
So. Well, it sounds like it is a very innovative program, and congratulations on your new Seminole and with the program. We've been down there once to take a look at it, and we'll come down again.
Well, great. Thanks very much, and we're really excited about the Seminole. I can't wait to fly it.
Okay. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sun and Fun 2012. I've been talking with Jerry Gregor of Redbird Flight Simulations. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by Anywhere Map, now available as an app for all the popular tablets. See more at anywheremap.com. And by Bendix King Avionics. We've renewed our brand and our promise to deliver the best in general aviation avionics. See us at Hangar B, Booth 80, or at bendixking.com.